welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast for Monday, April 27th, 2020. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Today I'm joined on the podcast by Ed Rodriguez, Vice President and GM of Sales for Canada at Citrix, to discuss how the company and its partners have reacted to the pandemic. Now, of course, Citrix has been focused on technology that enables remote workers for a long time. I guess in hipster terms, you could say that they were work from home before work from home was cool. But with the sudden emphasis put on work from home by the COVID-19 pandemic, how has that changed business for Citrix and its partners? Well, for one thing, they're really busy. And for another thing, as Rodriguez explains, it's a very different type of impact and a very different type of conversation that Citrix partners are able to have right now. We discuss what's driving it, what Rodriguez sees Citrix partners doing to respond, and get his thoughts on what this is going to mean for long-term demand for remote work technologies. It's a fascinating conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with Ed Rodriguez. Ed, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. You know, all things considered, can't complain here as we work through another long work week.
Sure, no doubt. Obviously, Citrix has been a company that's been embracing of the mobile workforce for a lot longer, I think, than a lot of folks. But how has life changed for you as a Citrixian over the last few weeks?
Well, I think life has changed for everyone, and I think no different for myself than most of the world that's out there listening to this. Historically, as somebody who's responsible for Canada sales, meeting with customers on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis along with our partners was something that was normal for me. And just like everybody else, we kind of replaced that travel, that formal face-to-face meeting, that in-person or that in-office style of working with, full-time working out of the house and working virtually across, the variety of tools that allow us to do that, as well as, kind of approaching things a little bit differently in terms of how we're engaging folks, with a little bit more of an empathetic and the kind of checking in on people and the human side of things first before, moving into, the affairs of business and things to keep us moving forward in this day and then during this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. What are the conversations with customers been? What have been the big asks, the big questions, the sort of the change in customer mindset?
Well, I think as you mentioned, Citrix has been doing, remote access, been assisting with organizations who've had telework needs or remote work styles for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And so, the conversations have much more so just grown into really helping them understand, what we see as best practices, what we've done with other customers, and how to expand in some cases, maybe footprints of infrastructure and processes and programs designed to allow people to work remotely. Mm-hmm. To be more full-fledged across the entire workforce. So we've been highly consultative throughout the weeks, over the past, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks, really related to this business continuity challenge that all these organizations are going through.
And that's something that no doubt your partners are facing in their own businesses and in supporting the businesses that they support, your mutual customers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that one of the great things about being a Citrix partner is, the access to our technology. In many cases, they had already set this stuff up, right? Because, mm-hmm. They've been, a number one consumer as well as an evangelist for, workspaces and the types of technology that Citrix offers and the problems that we solve. So, in many cases, our partners, kind of were set up from ground zero, right, to be able to withstand a kind of circumstance like this, but it's really given them the expertise to really be an extension of Citrix and helping, their customer, our mutual customers, and others that are out there. And, I think it's been really, really exciting to see, our partners really step up in terms of the visibility and how they're helping folks. You see it across social media, you see it in a lot of their communications to customers, and then ultimately you see it in the responses that they're having to the needs of our joint customers and then how we're seeing them help them. It's been a really positive thing from that perspective.
Mm. What are you guys doing and focusing on with partners right now? Obviously, supporting those customers, but in terms of any programmatic or concrete actions you've taken with partners?
You know, I can't say there's something, you know, really programmatic per se. You know, we've just been jointly really helping all of the needs that we're finding out there. And I think what you can, you know, you can think about Citrix has a very large customer base. Mm-hmm. Most of those customers, you know, have worked with a partner at some point in the journey, you know, whether it been early on in design and consultation or through the entire cycle of procurement and then post-sales, having them, you know, set up, configure, and design their environments. You know, so we continue to see, you know, customers going back to partners that may have not, you know, they hadn't had engagement in, you know, a year or 2 years. And, you know, they go back to, you know, the trusted names, the trusted people and resources that helped them get there years ago to really go and take them forward into, you know, a much more pervasive remote access experience for their employees. So I wouldn't say there's something specifically programmatic. Mm-hmm. It's really just been an experience that's probably pulled Citrix and its partners closer together than you know, we historically have been, simply because of, you know, the importance of what's taking place today and the importance of making sure our customers can, you know, can be successful in this work from home era.
Right. Can you give me any kind of feel for how often the customers you're seeing coming to you right now are going from, you know, starting from a base point of some work from home versus kind of the this is all brand new to them kind of position? Because obviously those are, I would have to imagine, different kind of needs and demands to support.
Yeah, you know, I would say so. You know, I think that we have, you know, quite a number of customers of Citrix that have implemented, you know, our technology for remote access, right? Mm-hmm. And usually that was for a specific population of the workforce, maybe a particular role.
Sure.
That, you know, allowed them to be remote traveling, working from home, or circumstance that, you know, the organization has afforded to them because of, you know, maybe you know, kids that are now new and need some parental time home, or contract workers that, you know, would be, you know, located across the world. So, you know, they've oftentimes, a lot of our existing customer base have had some, you know, level of footprint, some level of experience, but it was not, you know, in this 100% everybody needs to be working from home, working remotely scenario. So, mm-hmm. While, you know, we went back and, you know, funny enough, is we did some studies, you know, not too long ago, you know, that really showed that about half of the Canadian workers felt like their companies had, you know, the technology and the policies in place to allow them to work remotely. And so they felt like they had, you know, 53% of them actually, you know, felt like they had some of the infrastructure and things needed. Mm-hmm. But a lot higher percentage of them felt that they could do that job. Remotely, right? I think we came up with the survey responses roughly around 93% of the Canadian workers, you know, confirmed that their offices that are occupied all the time, but, you know, 51% thought they could do their jobs remotely if they were permitted.
Right.
And at least half of them thought, you know, they'd be as productive or more. So I think what we found is a lot of our customers had infrastructure in place, but none of them had necessarily the scale to operationalize a 100%, you know, right, full work from home, every employee scenario. And so, yeah, you know, depending on where they were in that journey really allowed them to scale quickly up versus, you know, taking what might have been a very small project or a small subset and then go figuring out actually how to redesign for scale. So there's two different, you know, paradigms there of redesigning for scale versus simply expanding because you've already had that design in place and had a significant amount of people already on that type of infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand that. It will be interesting to see, and it's probably way too early to speculate on what it looks like after all of this is in the rearview mirror, but it will be interesting to see how many of those who have sort of been, I don't really want to say dragged into this, but have either started or rapidly accelerated embracing working from home because of this, decide to stick with more embrace of work from home or mobile workforce because of the benefits they see as a result of this experience.
I would agree with you, Rob. You know, what I remember speaking with a few folks about, you know, earlier this year and even towards the end of 2019, mm-hmm, was the pervasiveness of projects that we had seen at the CIO level for work from home. Right. And, you know, other workspace style projects. And the reason at that time was not really business continuity being the number one driver of that, right? Mm-hmm. The reason at that time had a lot to do with this is, you know, how employees, you know, were they were looking for out of their organizations. They were looking for more flexibility. They were looking for a better lifestyle in terms of that balance between, you know, working, you know, 8 to 6, 9 to 6, if you will, in an office versus, you know, having breaks in their day to take care of personal items, whether it be, you know, attending to their kids or the elderly or their families and other personal requirements. And, you know, they looked at the horizon of the type of workforce that was, you know, graduating colleges and coming into, you know, the workforce of today. You know, they quickly realized that the top talent out there is going to gravitate towards organizations that had this type of flexibility, this type of culture, and this type of experience. So it wasn't surprising to me that, you know, we were seeing, you know, this uptick in projects associated with work from home, but they were driven largely by, you know, a bit of a cultural shift that's taking place is in that culture set being aligned with the technologies now actually being ready and available and supportive of that shift. And so that's the difference between, you know, January's projects and March's projects, which certainly have, you know, have really been surrounded around business continuity. And I think to your point on to, hey, once business continuity and we kind of get past this, you know, this period of mandatory work from home and the pandemic, you know, what happens after that? Now that we've all become accustomed, you know, to working from home, we've developed our processes, you know, we've developed quite a number of programs to allow people to be productive. We've changed the way we measure success of our employees and our, you know, our KPIs to achieve a business result. You know, do we immediately snap back or do we actually take a lot of the gains from this and apply them going forward? And I agree with you in the sense that we are going to see a lot of these gains continue to push forward simply because the productivity is there. We're seeing great benefits from a climate perspective with a lot fewer carbon emissions coming from, you know, the commuters on a daily basis, the big planes flying over the sky every single day. And, you know, effectively some of the, you know, the real estate aspects of organizations who are, you know, constantly cramming more and more employees into a fixed space, you know, can reevaluate, you know, how do we best, you know, assess our needs on a real estate in a collaborative office basis and providing, you know, maybe a more optimal balance between time spent, you know, in person, in offices with colleagues and employees, as well as time spent, you know, working remotely, working from home, that gives people a little bit of that lifestyle, that balance, while not, you know, giving up a lot of the productivity, and in fact, in some cases, gaining more.
All right. I'm sure you're having a bunch of conversations with a lot of your partners across Canada right now. I'm curious if there are any common threads you're picking up in terms of how your solution provider customers and partners are feeling about their business, both in the short term and in terms of sort of getting through the current experience as well as in the long term and how this might change kind of the directions, the bag of tools they bring to their customers.
You know, I think that generally speaking, you know, partners, resellers, you know, value-added resellers, systems integrators, you know, the variety of different folks out there that are helping organizations, they tend to gravitate towards, you know, things that, you know, are driven by demand by customers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this has now become a very, you know, important initiative for organizations. And so with that, you know, you'll find partners gravitating towards solutions, services, you know, ultimately that allow those organizations to achieve their goals. And so, you know, I think we'll continue to see, you know, partners, you know, I'll call it shifting around their tool set and what value propositions and solutions they bring, really based upon what the customer's needs are. And, you know, obviously in the short term here, some of those needs have been around business continuity. I think longer, you know, term, it could be, you know, less about the immediate threat, the near term, get everybody live and active, but more so about how do you plan for a much more resilient business continuity strategy for your organization? How do you ensure that you can not only take on you know, things like this pandemic that could be multiple months, but even sharp acute things like a big, weather system coming through, or, other types of, disruptions that, geological or economical that could drive, change within business. So I think we'll see that those projects of, long-term resilient business continuity become something that, is on that top short list for organizations. And I'm sure resellers will be looking at, what are all the different solutions that they can provide out there and meet those needs of those customers.
All right. And I appreciate the opportunity to pick your mind a bit. And before we wrap up, any parting shots for the Canadian channel community right now?
It's an exciting time, in terms of being able to have impact. And I think that, a lot of times, we in IT, resellers, channel community, we're often in projects that, they're helpful. They're helping organizations achieve some sort of initiative. They're really helping them improve a revenue or reduce a cost and a risk. But rarely do we find ourselves in a position to truly have human impact. And this is a particular situation, a case that I truly feel that the channel community is out there driving some really big impacts out there, both on the human side, and you can think of that in the medical communities and so on and so forth, as well as on the business side in terms of, ensuring that organizations that are, challenged with some of the economics that come from these types of pandemics and seeing those things through. And I think it's a really rewarding time to be in the channel and really helping these organizations and having the tools and the solutions that allow them to do that. So very exciting time. At the same time, obviously, it's not our favorite reason, right? And, I just encourage the channel community to be empathetic, to be helpful, and really seize this opportunity for impact. It's an important one.
All right. Appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure, Rob.
There you have it. Thoughts on the demand for remote working technology amidst the COVID-19 pandemic and the human impact the channel can have from Citrix Canada boss Ed Rodriguez. I'd like to thank Ed for joining us for the podcast, and of course, thank you for listening. We'll take another look at how the pandemic is impacting the channel tomorrow on the podcast. This time from the solution provider's lens, as we're joined by Dave Fredrickson, Executive Vice President of Sales at Longview Systems, to discuss the impact that company is having amidst the pandemic and what impact the pandemic is having on it. Until then, we invite you to subscribe to the podcast on your preferred podcatcher. We're available on both Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, and join us again tomorrow as we continue to cover how this once-in-a-lifetime event is shaping the future of our industry. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.